something for the weekend. It's Trina Mari here, and our money man, Paul Merriman from AskPaul.ie, is back in studio. So what are we going to ask Paul about today? So today it is all about mortgages and about these vulture funds. Now, we've seen it in the paper, the amount of apartments in Dublin alone, Paul, in the last week that have been bought up by these investment companies.
Yeah, so this is a big problem, Trina, and I suppose I've been saying this on social media for quite some time now. Our country is turning into a build to rent. So what does that mean? That means that builders are going to build these places to rent them to young couples and young families forever rather than selling them. So the likelihood of becoming a homeowner is diminishing slowly but surely. There was one building in particular in Dundrum quite recently that was going to go on for first time buyers, and a big life insurance company just swooped in and bought the whole thing for, I think it was 220 million. I think it was 88 apartments. So that's taking 88 opportunities for families,
some people,
or first time
yeah.
young buyers, young couples, the opportunity to buy.
How is that allowed?
I mean, a builder doesn't have to sell to the public. You know, they can sell to an investment company, they can sell to a pool of investors. You can't really make it illegal. What you could do is make it different from a tax treatment point of view. So you could charge these guys higher amount to tax these funds. Some of the REITs, which is a real estate investment trust funds, these guys pay very little tax, if no tax at all, which is a complete disaster, you know. So it just doesn't make sense. It's flawed. The system is really flawed. Look, I hate going on to political rants. I do sometimes on my Facebook page because I get a lot of young people asking me how to save for a deposit, how to get the foot on the ladder. It's so hard. When you see these things in the paper, it's really annoying. But I would remind everybody about elections and talking to politicians and getting together and making this problem hopefully go away. But look, where there's money to be made, that's the problem.
Yeah. Okay, so for anybody who actually can try and get a mortgage and try and buy somewhere, it's not as straightforward as you might think. You need to be planning and preparing way, way in advance, don't you?
Yeah, you really do. When it comes to getting a mortgage application, I mean, look, let's take this in the very beginning. Let's just take a young couple. Let's just call them 30 years of age, a couple 30 years of age. They're going out a couple of years. They're renting maybe, and they have a vision of hopefully buying in a few years' time. You really need to start planning your accounts now. You know, you really need to start thinking about your current account situation, who pays what, where does it go, make sure you have no mad debt amassed, and make sure you don't have any referral fees, you're not dipping into your overdraft. Because what I find out too often is that some people come to me and they're starting the mortgage process, say they want to buy a house now, and they're going to give it 6 months, but their accounts are in rag order.
Okay.
So they might have 4 accounts, they might have misdirect debits, they might be transferring money from Bank of Ireland to AIB, and the Bank of Ireland's an overdraft.
Direct debit or something.
Yeah. And it's just all messy. So like I said, if you're in a relationship, or even thinking of buying your own, it's important to try and sit down now and say, right, what way, if I was to get audited on my accounts, like, your accounts need to be like a CV, you know, are you going in for a job application, you want your CV to look well, easy to read, and no mad mistakes on it. You need the same for your current accounts.
Yeah.
So sit down maybe this weekend and open your banking app or something and have a look at your accounts. And if you have more than two, you're going, maybe three if you have a savings account is okay. So what I always recommend to people to do to keep this simple is that all your money goes into one account. All your wages go into one account. If it's a joint account and two people are paying into the one account, that's fine. Then you add up all your outgoings. Your rent, your gas, your electricity, your car loan, anything that you're going to pay by direct debit or standing order. Add them all up, and if that's $2,000, open a second account and have $2,000 in there every month. And everything that comes out of there, a direct debit comes out of that account.
So call that your bills account.
Call it your bills account. Let's say two people working and they've got $4,500 combined income coming into that joint account. And they've got $2,000 of bills. $2,000 goes out straight away, and they've got $2,500 left in their normal account. And that's what you have to spend and save with. You know, so you want to save £500 a month, set up a savings account, £500 goes in, and you've got $2,000 left in that account, and you can't really go wrong knowing that you have that
okay.
to spend.
And it's visibly, it's very easy to read then on your bank statement.
Exactly, yeah, it's very easy to read. And then the other thing, and I've said this loads of times, and I know people get a bit of giggle about this, about not tap dancing around town with your debit card, not tapping and going everywhere. If you open your current account statement and it's reams and reams and reams of transactions, it just doesn't look good, you know.
Yeah. So even if it's only a fiver in and 3 euros somewhere else,
it just all adds up. And it's harder for an underwriter. You have to remember, when you're going for a mortgage application, the underwriter's going to open this application. The easier it is for him or her to go through the application, just the better mood they're going to be in. And
it's as simple as these things.
So if you can look and you can get your current account to be short as possible, what do I mean by that? Maybe just taking £100 out every Monday. if that's what you're going to spend for the week, rather than tapping your card in a coffee shop every day of the week, you know, taking 100 quid out at the beginning of the week, you know, that's what you spend every week. Just do that. That means you've probably got one transaction rather than 20 transactions for the week.
Okay.
You know, so it just makes it look a little bit easier. You need to start doing this now if you're thinking of even buying, in my opinion, 2 years or 3 years' time, because you need to have good accounts. And it will help you save more, will help you manage your accounts better if they're easier as well, you know. The worst thing you can see is somebody having no money in one account and being an overdraft, and there's plus money in another account, and you're saying, why do you have, like, it's just mismanagement of the money.
Do they look for all your bank statements, even if you've got one account that you don't really
use?
Yes,
so this is a big one. And right, just to remind people as well, whether you use a financial advisor or a broker, or whether you go directly to a bank, you know, in my opinion, you should be using a broker rather than going directly to a bank, because they have way more options for you. But if you're using a broker and the broker puts an application in and you've missed one account, even if there's €1 sitting in an old account from a student account, that's going to show up. And if you've missed that, it doesn't go any further. The underwriter goes back to the broker, tells them they missed something, the broker goes back to you. You've probably lost a week off your application.
Joking.
Just by that messing around. Yeah, so like I said, make sure you have every single account. And if you've closed the account down, say that was that student account and you're getting your accounts in order today, you decide, look, there's an old student account there with, let's say, AIB, and there's €2 when I'm going to close that account. Get the statement that's closed and give it when you're giving your mortgage application, just in case.
Because it'll come up, will it, when they put in your details?
Just say, yeah, there's an old account, I closed that down, just give them the extra information.
Okay.
The idea here is to stop queries coming back, Trina.
Because it keeps delaying things.
It cuts down on the time it's going to take you to get that mortgage approval.
Yeah.
So give them as much information as possible.
And you'll wreck their heads.
Yeah. And the other thing I'd even do as far as, say for example, you have a car loan. Let's just say the Bank of Ireland, for argument's sake, and your car loans are permit TSB, and it's 400 quid a month. Highlight it on your current account statements in a green highlighter or whatever colour highlighter you want. Highlight it and just put beside it PTSB, and have your PTSB loan account beside it. So the underwriter can clearly identify what that is, and there's the account to support it.
Because, like, a lot of the time we can't even read our own accounts and know what the stuff is for. So how on earth is a stranger supposed to know?
Exactly. And the quicker and easier you make it, honestly, you don't realise how much time is taken in banks and how long the process lasts. So if you can make that process as seamless as possible for the underwriter, you're going to sail through the process before you know your figures are right. Take a little bit of time out, sit down and plan your accounts as early as possible. Make it as simple as possible for somebody to read your accounts.
If you have a credit card, Paul, that you don't use and it's always on zero,
you need to show that statement. Yeah, because they'll be guaranteed where you would have made one transaction for 20 quid for the cinema maybe, and that came out, and the underwriter's going to see what came out and want an explanation. It's another query. You have to cut down the queries to get your time right. The one thing I will say when it comes to credit cards is if you can try and get rid of all your debt and all your credit cards before you make an application, it's going to be better. You know, that's logical. You know, if you have no debt, and a lot of people may have a car loan. Car loan is the biggest one. Car loan is the biggest problem when it comes to trying to qualify for the amount you want for a mortgage. Because if you're committing to paying 400 quid to somebody else for the next 5 years, that means you can't pay it towards your mortgage.
Yeah.
So I've seen car loans cost the difference between someone borrowing, say, 250 and 300 grand.
And getting their house.
Yeah, and you know, or getting a much smaller house and maybe not the area they want, or a three bed versus a four bed, or two bed versus three bed. So just really think, if you are thinking of buying a couple of years, think twice about getting a car loan or a PCP or something mad.
Definitely,
because it can have a massive impact on your capability to borrow.
When you are saving in the credit union as well, you have to show all that as well.
Everything.
It wasn't connected years ago, sure it wasn't.
Yeah, so years ago, the
people used to get an out loan for the deposit.
That was true. Yeah, a few years ago, the credit unions weren't on the OCB check, so they wouldn't show up. But again, an awful lot of people nowadays would have paid their credit union via their bank anyway, so it would have showed up on the bank statement.
Where
this was years ago, I remember actually my own mum used to collect money on myself and my brothers and sisters and bring it up to the credit union once a week and lodge it for us. That's she still does that sometimes, but generally speaking, it's lodged, and most people lodge it through their bank, so it will always show up on the bank statements anyway. But yeah, that was true. OCB checks weren't accredited to all credit unions, but they are now.
You can't hide anything.
As well, if you are saving in the credit union, just remember you have to show your savings anyway. You know, so if you're saving 500 quid a month and you have a loan of 500 quid, well, it's kind of pointless, you know. So get rid of the loans first and get them down, is my opinion and my advice for everybody.
Okay.
And then just the last thing, the last thing on this is if you have got credit card debt or you have got what would you call bad debt, that's going to show up in the OCB checks, or every bank's going to do a credit check on you. Now, banks are getting a little bit less strict on this. Actually, 18 months ago, if you had one bad hiccup in the last 5 years, no one but touch you. Now there's one or two banks that will touch you if you have an OCB or a credit issue. But just be very very careful. And this is for those people that maybe aren't together that long, and maybe the boyfriend, the girlfriend, the relationship has an old credit card that they didn't tell anyone about, and the last thing you want to do is that showing up when you're both about to buy your perfect house and you can't get a mortgage.
How far back do they go though?
5 years. Oh. Yeah, 5 years.
Oh.
And it's 5 years. bit of awkwardness in the studio. Yeah, so it's 5 years in the credit church. And that's 5 years. And so if you have a problem, it stays there. So if you still have a credit card balance or standard or something. Like I got a client recently who had gone to Australia 3 years ago, came back after a year and actually forgot about a very small credit card balance that was still outstanding, but was still in the ICB. Mm. You know, if they repair that today, it's still going to be there in 5 years' time.
Oh, no.
So it's not even 5 years from when you took the loan. It's 5 years from when you sorted out the loan or the problem. So it does come up quite a lot in the questions that Ask Paul is about credit ratings.
All right, so be very, very careful. There is all your advice from askpaul.ie. He is all over social media and all his little videos on his website now as well. You get to see his face as well. Thanks so much, Paul. This is Something for the Weekend on Classic Hits.